You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 8, Flight of the Fat Lady. We all mix up our own butterbeer, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Welcome back to the Quidditch Cup. We have entered the marathon portion. Everyone, it's a grueling contest where we quiz each other every week nonstop. The chat room has been hunkered down for 8 weeks now. Their family has all grown beards. Given up on them. But they are still here and they are with us. So we appreciate that.
God bless them. All of the medals of honor to them.
They've been getting complaints from their neighbors.
Mostly about smells.
Still at it.
I was going to say smells. Is it a smells? Because that seems like a smells thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's quiz each other. Is it? I think it's Vijaya.
Yeah, it's my turn.
It's not my turn.
It is Vijaya.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Ready.
What ministry committee is in charge of deciding Buckbeak's future?
Oh my gosh.
Coming in with the heavy heaters.
Beep.
Yeah.
The Department for the Disposal of Magical Creatures.
I was going to say the Regulation of Magical Creatures.
You get a half a point. It's Committee for the Disposal of Dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yikes. Yeah, I got to give you a half point. That's pretty good.
Are you sure? I can't remember. You sure you want to give me a half point?
Yeah.
I don't want to, but law says I have to because you're real close.
I wouldn't.
This is Trump's America, Michael.
I am a white man, so
I guess I should have given Sarah a chance to answer it.
I would have said the Committee for Regulation of Magical Creatures, so I wouldn't have gotten it either.
I mean, you got disposal right.
There was disposal in there, so that was good.
And creatures right.
Disposal and for of the creatures. Right?
I mean, I don't know. That seems like a half point worthy. Do you think so?
Right.
I think it's half point worthy.
We're so nice to each other this season.
I think it's because we have people watching us, and also everything is garbage, so we want to love each other.
I think it's because it's pretty early. Wait till we get down further, and I'm going to be behind you with a knife in my hand.
We also haven't had a moment.
We haven't had a phoenix question.
Yeah, we haven't.
Or eaten.
No, we haven't had either of those things.
No eaten. All right, no phoenix.
Sarah.
No eaten phoenix.
Bring it.
Okay, guys. What color is the big handbag that Boggart Snape carries? Vijaya?
Purple?
It is not purple.
Damn it. Thank God.
I could guess, but that's just dumb, right?
You can guess. Maybe get a point.
But it's Probably red, though, right?
It is red, though.
Yes!
It's red.
No.
Do you get a point for that? Because you
I gave it up. All right.
You relinquished it, though.
I'm not taking it. Okay. You guys ready?
I know that's a lame question, except that they repeat it five times. They repeat it, like, four times. He's like, my gran has a big red handbag. And he's like, Lupin's like, imagine a big red handbag. And then they're like, the Boggart emerges with a big red handbag. So I was trying to be reasonable.
If I was down by 3 points, I would not be magnanimous about it.
Okay, good. Well, then you don't get the point.
All right, you guys right?
Thank you for your sacrifice. Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for your service.
How much did the Weasleys win in the annual daily profit grand prize for Gallian Draw?
Did you see how I waited for that?
All of my questions.
Those that were not in the live stream and doing this podcast, she had her breath ready to go for that.
I waited till the end of the question.
All of my questions are designed to drive Sarah crazy. What is the answer?
700 galleons.
That is correct.
I was waiting. I was like, I'm not going to answer before it, but I will not. I'm not shying away from intimidation tactics.
That was intimidating. Oh my gosh. All right.
Oh God. Okay.
So we've got Michael with 9 points, Sarah with 6 points, and Bajaya with 5.
Better than 3.
We'll be back next week for another round of the Quizzitch Cup.
Peace.
Chapter 8, Flight of the Fat Lady. Okay, so Defense Against the Dark Arts is the best class. Can we all just agree?
Inarguably.
I mean, Lupin is awesome. He continues to be awesome. They move on to other dark creatures. They start studying red caps and kappas. And it's just a hoot just going to Defense Against Dark Arts. But then we get a whole list of how all the classes are going. Snape, basically, it's gone through the like wildfire, the whole incident where Snape got turned into Neville's mom. And he's wearing a hat and
grandma,
my bad. Yeah, so he's not happy. He's even meaner than he normally is.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Wow.
And
that's pretty bad. Yeah.
But like almost as bad as that, or maybe worse, or maybe exactly as bad as that, one of those things. Trelawney she's like every time she looks at Harry, she like wells up with tears, and she's acting like, you know, she's just waiting for him to die at any second. And Harry does not like it. Tell you right now. Hagrid's class. Also not great, which is a bummer. Like, after his first class was so action-packed, he's...
Never meet your heroes, or never take classes from them, I guess.
Right. Well, he's freaked out now, because he doesn't want another person to get hurt, like Malfoy. So all they're doing is feeding and looking after flobber worms, which are incredibly boring. And they basically just, like, shove lettuce down their throats.
Although, what did you do in, like, sixth grade biology?
I mean, we didn't have flobber worms. You probably would have thought flobber worms were amazing.
I was going to say, we did like nothing. So just saying.
Yeah. I guess they just don't do anything and they just sit there and you cram lettuce in their face. So it's kind of like all of this would be a huge bummer, except that Quidditch season is starting and Harry is thrilled.
Yes, sir.
It makes up for all the terrible stuff. But it's Oliver Wood's last year, and he has never won the Quidditch Cup. I did it. He's never won the Quidditch Cup. Can you imagine if you had never won the Quidditch Cup? That would be terrible.
That would be the worst.
Nothing.
Just silence.
Wood gives a speech about how, you know, they should have won it every year that they've had Harry. They've got the best team ever, and this is his last year, and... he will, live the rest of his life a horrible wreck if they don't win the FN Quizzitch Cup. I did it again. The Quidditch Cup. Quizzitch is not the word. That's not the word.
It's really hard. Like, we've now. I was going to say, at this point, like, what is more important in your life, Quidditch or Quizzitch?
I mean, probably Quizzitch.
Probably Quizzitch. Not going to lie.
Quidditch is not great. Anyway, So they're all like, you know, even the Weasley twins are like, we're going to do it. We're going to do it for you, Oliver. We're going to win. Everything's going to be okay. So, you know, they're starting to practice and all that's going on. But we find out that Hogsmeade weekend is coming. And as we know, Harry never got his slip signed. So he is straight bumming.
Oh, that's horrible.
And, like, they can't – the best idea they come up with is that he's going to ask McGonagall if she'll let him go, like, which is a terrible idea.
I was like, that's not so great.
Yeah, ask the person that maybe is the strictest about rules at Hogwarts.
Right? Couldn't he, like – I was going to say Hagrid probably – well, no, Hagrid probably would say no. But, like, I don't know.
It would either be – if Hagrid signed it, McGonagall would still be like, no, this doesn't work. So it would probably have to he's be not like your parent or guardian. Matt McGonagall.
Right.
No good.
So the kiddos are all doing their homework, and Crookshanks is there, and Ron is still kind of upset about the whole Crookshanks Scabbers stuff, and he's like, "Scabbers is my bag. Keep an eye on your fucking cat," which I felt was kind of crass to say like that, but.
But hey,
JK Rowling dropped the F.
What you gonna do? He felt it. I mean,
what, a 13 at this point? Like, my understanding is probably that's what they would be saying. But anyway, Crookshanks attacks Ron's bag. There's a big scene. Scabbers goes flying out of the bag. He runs under a cabinet. Crookshanks is trying to get him. Ron's freaking out. They eventually get a hold of Crookshanks, and Ron manages to get Scabbers back. And he's like, "That cat is unnatural. He heard me say Scabbers in the bag and he attacked it." And, you know, Hermione is like, he smelled him. Come on. Don't be silly.
Yeah, he's a cat.
And he's like, "Look at Scabbers. He's got a lot of anxiety. He's very stressed out. He looks terrible."
Can I just say something real fast?
Yeah.
Like, everybody in this series, in this whole world, is really quick to, like, dismiss stuff, being like, "He's just a cat." And I'm like, literally everything in your freaking world is magic. And you're just like, "Ah, he's just a cat." Like, they dismiss so much stuff. And I'm like, God.
You have owls, like, that show up to tell you to get your owner's birthday gifts.
Right? Like, I mean, there's birds, flying eagle, horse birds you have to bow to and say, "Sir, and please, and thank you." And you're like, "He's just a cat." I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying that at this point, you know.
Well, I guess, like, right. She did get the cat, or Crookshanks, from the, was it a magical menagerie?
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you say, like, "I got him the magical menagerie," he clearly has some sort of magic-y power, like, in the very least, some sort of intuitive magic-y powers. Like, they're not going to have, like, like Joe Bob Tabby Cat there. I don't know.
Maybe she thought that when she got it, the magical menagerie owner or the staff person would have been like, "Oh, this cat is magical. He is intuitive."
I was like, scanned it, like, TSA style for magic? Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyway, sorry.
So the next day comes, and they're going into their transfiguration class. Lavender is a mess. She's crying. Everyone's all consoling her. It turns out her rabbit Binky is dead. It was killed by a fox.
What? Binky?
And then, you know what? Today is What's October that? 16th, the day that Trelawney predicted that thing she was dreading would happen.
What?
So, yeah, she predicted it, right?
Did she say the 16th of October?
She literally said the 16th of October.
Oh, frick.
Hermione, who's a monster, is like, "That doesn't make sense. Did you think that your rabbit was going to die? Did you think your rabbit was going to get eaten by a fox?" And, well, she's like, "No, but I was worried that it would die." And she was like, "Was it old?" And she's like, "No, it was young." And she's like, "Well, you know, this letter was from a couple days ago. The rabbit didn't even die today. So,
I mean,
it's just a coincidence."
I have a joke. Logic tells you that Hermione is human, but empathy tells you that Hermione's a monster.
Is this a Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein joke? Because I think so. It might
very
be.
Very loosely.
It was good, okay? All right, let's keep going.
I'm laughing.
I'm laughing. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm laughing at it.
But, you know, Ron's like...
I enjoyed it.
Ron's like, other pets don't matter to Hermione.
Oh, Ron.
Because they're all mad at each other all the time. So, it after Transfiguration... Harry goes and, like, a dum-dum asks McGonagall if he can go to Hogsmeade, and she's like, "No, like, I can't, like, no."
I'm not your mom.
So they're all just bummed out, and they try to come up with, like, lots of different ways to get Harry into Hogsmeade. Like, they'll forge the signature, but, like, "Nope, sorry, McGonagall already knows that it's not signed."
Why did he do that before? Why is Harry so dumb?
He's not smart. And yeah, the invisibility cloak won't work because he'll pass out when he goes by the Dementors, and they'll just see him anyway. Or didn't Dumbledore specifically say that
they can't be fooled by invisibility cloaks? Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah. So,
which is really weird considering there's like one invisibility cloak in the world. But I mean, that I feel like that's my that is a recurring problem that I have with things. But I'm just gonna put that out there right now.
So everybody goes off. They go off to Hogsmeade, and Harry is just left behind. He's really sad. He kind of wanders around. Everywhere he goes, there's like, you know, Colin Creevy's getting all up in his business. And Filch is like, go back to your room and stuff like
Imagine
that.
Imagine this like Charlie Brown style, like,
Right. Just slouching along. But eventually he runs into Lupin. And Lupin's
Lupin
like,
doing?
He's like, hey kid, do you want to see my Grindylo? So Harry's like, sure. And so Harry almost at this point tells Lupin about the Grim or the dog he sees. But he doesn't.
Because he's a dummy.
And maybe I'll bring this up when we finished, but I think that's interesting. And so Harry's like, well, okay, so why wouldn't you let me fight the Boggart? And Lupin says he thought if Voldemort showed up, then everyone would panic and he'd freak out. And Harry's like, that actually makes Harry feel a lot better because it's not that he thought Harry was weak. He just thought that everyone in the room would lose their shit if Voldemort showed up. At this point, Snape comes in with a steaming goblet, and this is actually the point where Lupin is like, Snape, I was just showing Harry here my Grindylo, which made me go, like, that's weird. We put that.
A little strange.
So this potion that Snape made him, he isn't feeling well, and this potion is extremely hard to make. He can't make it, but Snape can. Snape's really good at potions.
Have you ever tried to brew the perfect cup of chamomile, Michael? It is so hard.
I haven't at all.
Well, that's because Professor Snape hasn't done it for you yet.
Right. Well. But Harry's like, yo, Snape wants your job. He's trying to poison you. He like wants to slap the potion right out of Lupin's hand. But Lupin just gulps it
Chugs
all down.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
and
sucker.
Harry's like, oh no. So Harry goes back. Ron and Hermione show up from Hogsmeade and they have the time of their life. They are just, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Zonko's was amazing. Honeydukes, everything was just so cool.
The best ever.
At least they brought him back a bunch of.
The best flowers.
They brought him back a bunch of coughing
candies.
Yes, they brought him back a bunch of Honeydukes and. It was delicious. And
the best 4 hours of their lives.
Yes, it was so good. But at least Harry can join them now at the Halloween feast. And actually, he's starting to feel better. I think Lupin kind of cheered him up.
With his Grindylo?
Yeah. I mean, you should see that thing. It's great. Lupin's still alive. He seems fine. Everything's great. The ghosts put on a big play or something. Where they fly in formation and they try to chop off, what's his name's head?
Nearly headless Rick.
nearly headless Rick, his low budget cousin.
And Harry's finally feeling good. Everything's great. They return to the portrait hole. Guess what? It has been slashed to bits.
What?
Yeah, somebody tried to get in.
Slash, like
the knife.
Fat lady, crinoline lady fic sort of thing.
Is portrait hole the magical world's equivalent of glory hole?
hey, do you wanna take this this greeny loot to the portrait hole?
Wow. Man. Golly.
So lewd, Michael.
I'm not doing it. I have nothing to do with this.
Oh, it's okay. The portrait is slashed. Sorry, go ahead.
Yes, portrait is slashed. The fat lady's missing, but Peeves saw the whole thing, apparently.
Sure.
And he is like, Sirius Black was really mad when he couldn't get in. And everyone's like, ah, Sirius Black. And that's when the chapter ends.
Ah! Everyone's too distracted by the portrait hole.
So, new things. Well, it's the first time anyone visits Hogsmeade. Although Harry doesn't actually visit, so does it count? Probably not.
Probably not.
I think this is the first time we hear about Butterbeer. Can you guys tell me if I'm right or wrong?
Now, if it's Hogsmeade related and we haven't heard about it prior, then yes, I would believe so.
Because they're like, it's these foaming mugs of Butterbeer. I wish you could try it. It really warms you up. So
yep, that's definitely the first time, which important because Butterbeer.
Because Butterbeer.
I think we should make it sometime, guys.
I think we should. I think that'd be fun. So that's the chapter. I wonder, it would be interesting. Had Harry told Lupin he saw the black dog, would Lupin have gone, oh shit, Sirius Black?
I mean, I don't even know. Well, I guess he was already out at that time, so maybe.
But I don't know. I don't necessarily know. I mean, he might have, like, sort of from conjecture, sort of been like, maybe it's him. But also, like, black dogs just exist, yeah. Right? Like, I feel like I see black dogs, like, just roaming around every other day.
But, like, Lupin knows that Black is theoretically after him. He knows that Black is an Animagus.
So yes, he does. What would he have done about it?
I think it actually might have made things go poorly, because I think they would have known that Black was, close by or whatever.
Yeah,
right. And possibly Lupin would have been like, hey, because Lupin at this point still believes that he didn't want to believe it, but he still believes his friend actually sold out his other friends and was in Azkaban for actually killing people.
Right.
So presumably Lupin would have been like, you know what? I should probably tell people that he's wandering around as a dog and to keep a lookout for a dog.
Right. And well,
so many
actually,
black dogs
maybe not.
You know, now that I'm talking it out, though, like, they know Black was literally in the castle slashing open the fat lady, and Lupin never says anything. So,
But they didn't say a dog slashed it open. They said Sirius Black.
Right, but I'm just saying, like.
But he could have also said, like, hey, by the way, he's an animagus. He could possibly be a dog.
Right, I guess I was just thinking if Harry had tipped him off, then they would have been more on guard. But it doesn't matter because that same night, Lupin, they know that Black was in the castle. So
that's true.
Never mind.
Did Dumbledore.
Although, is that.
Did Dumbledore find out later that they were animagus?
Yeah, he doesn't know at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I love Lupin, and like, it works out for the point of the story, but I mean, is that really irresponsible if he legitimately thinks that Lupin thinks that Sirius murdered all these people, and he doesn't say, like, hey, by the way, like, is it possible for an animagus to get through the walls of Hogwarts without being detected by Dementors? Like, is that irresponsible of him not to say something to faculty?
But I think he's also struggling with the whole thing because he thought he knew Sirius all that time. And then overwhelmingly, the evidence points to the fact that he killed, sold out James and Lily, but also killed Peter. But then I think there are also some parts of him that wants to believe. So, but then he also doesn't want to tell people. Like, Dumbledore knows that he's a werewolf, but the professors do, but then you know how story leaks out.
Right, and I get that, but essentially, though, Lupin is, and I mean, obviously, like, they're kids, this is a kid's bookish, but, like, still, at the same time, that means that Lupin is making the conscious decision to, like, let his friendship with Sirius take precedent over the lives possibly of children in a school, particularly Harry.
He does bring this up at the end of the book where he basically says, like, I struggled with this the whole time.
He struggled, but he didn't. He ultimately decided that his friendship with Sirius was more important than potentially the lives of children.
I think it's also part of it has to do with self-preservation, because if he doesn't keep talking about it, then people are not going to bring up the fact that because the story about
they would have been like, what?
Being an animagus is going to leak out, and then the story about why they became an animagus is going to leak out, and people are going to know that he is a werewolf.
He's a werewolf.
Right. Okay. But still.
That's the thread we have to follow.
So is there like, do you think there's like a werewolf awareness campaign that's like, stop the stigma of werewolves. That's like, build, you know, sort wall. Of like a mental health thing. Like werewolves are just wizards too.
There's a new potion that makes them not
wolf's bane. It just helps to make their chemical balances. So, but anyway, sorry. That's just what I was wondering.
Yeah, yeah, that's
sorry. Did you have did you have other questions though, Michael?
No.
Michael, no, questions. That's just it.
I'm
just
good.
Like how righteous is Butterbeer?
I can't. I feel like I want Butterbeer right now.
Butterbeer is so delicious.
I feel like I want alcoholic Butterbeer though, not Harry Potter World Butterbeer. Although I've never been to Harry Potter World, so I can't say it. I'm just saying that because I'm jealous.
Butterbeer is delicious, so I mean,
I'm just jealous, Bijaya, because I haven't been.
I've had it like so many times. I think I'm going back.
That's just me.
What? Stop it! Why?
That's not okay.
Bijaya, are you gonna pay for my? Are you gonna pay for my ticket to Harry Potter World?
Yeah, come on down.
Okay, let's go.
It's Josh's. Josh's cousin is getting married in Orlando, so I mean, might as well go again.
Well, thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Man, after hearing about this new Butterbeer stuff on this week's recap, I was thinking, what if we all made Butterbeer?
That's going to take too long, Michael.
That's a pretty good idea, but yeah.
What if we all used podcast magic and then Butterbeer would magically appear here.
Can we insert like a magical noise right here? Like a.
I'm sure we can. I'm sure Alan did that. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. That sounds great. It really sounded magic.
Okay, so what we've done is we each came up with a Butterbeer recipe.
Came
inspired
up
by stuff online.
Loosely.
Inspired by the internet.
And we made three different kinds of Butterbeer, which we're all going to try now. Isn't that exciting?
It's so exciting. I don't know. How do we want to unveil this? Yeah.
Let's start with like
one of the hot ones.
And Michael can talk about a little about what's in it.
Let's start about Bijaya's.
Okay.
When we do Bijaya's
I feel like we should start. We have two hot and one cold. I feel like we should start with the hot ones.
I think go hot, cold, hot.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let's all try Bijaya's right now. Her hot Butterbeer.
Okay. Okay. This is mine.
Very bourbony.
Mine has so much whipped cream on top of it that I can't even taste the Butterbeer yet.
Did you whip your own whipped cream?
Mm-hmm.
Whipped my own whipped cream.
I also made my own butterscotch sauce.
I did
you
not
made
make butterscotch
your
sauce.
Own butterscotch sauce?
Yeah, because it was like a $4 bottle of it. And I was already buying heavy cream. It's not that. It's like basically heavy cream and sugar, brown sugar, and that's about it, and butter.
Bijaya, this is delicious. What is in it?
This is very good.
It has bourbon, ginger ale, butterscotch sauce, butter, obviously, and vanilla extract in it.
I used ginger beer in mine.
I used ginger beer,
okay?
too.
What did I say?
You said ginger ale.
I used ginger beer, too. Sorry, ginger ale.
Well,
ginger
I gotta say that I was worried that I was putting this, like, I put, like, 2 tablespoons of butterscotch sauce in this. And I was like, this is going to be so, so sweet. But I have to tell you that the ginger beer and the apple cider mixed together.
Oh, yeah. I have
there's
apple
cider,
also.
In it. And it is tangy and very delicious.
It is. I thought it would be too apple cidery and not butterbeer-ish enough. But I have to say that it is, it's delicious.
I have a lot of bourbon in mine.
I don't think I would hate, like, it's, first of all, mine's so hot right now, I'm burning my tongue off. I wouldn't hate if there was a little bit more butterscotch in it. So when we think about, what is the actual, like, description of Butterbeer when we first meet it?
It is like butterscotch, but not as sickly, and it's supposed to warm you up throughout and stuff, because they have hot Butterbeer first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one will warm you up. I was going to say, I was too lazy and I forgot. I was lazy and I forgot to go get butterscotch sauce. And where someone else's recipe uses butterscotch schnapps,
I just used a little bit of that instead.
Oh. Yes. Well, the butterscotch sauce is very good.
He agrees that this is delicious.
I have to say, I don't know if it's what I would have thought, like, butter beer would be like, just because it doesn't taste like beer, and... I mean, there's a little bit of a butterscotchy thing to it.
Right.
Yeah, I would... I've had both the hot and the cold from Harry Potter Wizarding World, and this tastes like neither of them.
So. Hmm.
But it tastes delicious.
If you were to present this to me... I would say, I mean, because you can get a little bit of that apple note in there, so I wouldn't expect that in a proper butter beer, but I really like it a lot.
Yeah. This is more like a hottie toddy with whipped cream on it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like a hot toddy. I would maybe do less of the ginger next time.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't
know. Not getting ginger, really. It probably will... depend a lot on the kind of ginger beer you used.
Yeah, I got like the Fever Tree, which is like the super good stuff.
Right.
But I like it. I'm already warm. I'm warm.
I like it too. I want to cool down a little bit with some.
Actually, I have a feeling after we take my hot one, we're probably gonna want to go back to your hot one. That's my feeling.
I'm drinking some of mine right now.
Which, look, Sarah, I'm drinking out of the official butterbeer mug.
Oh, look at that. That's so cool. I'm drinking out of this Moscow Mule mug because I think it looks like an old-timey wizard tankard.
It does.
This is really good.
I'm drinking out of, well, one of my other two mugs are your Wizardary mugs, which are very exciting. But this one I'm drinking.
This one is strong, man.
So mine is... I feel like mine's probably the simplest one to make, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's cream soda with some vanilla vodka and some butterscotch schnapps, and then you put whipped cream on it.
I think
on top.
I think so. I used a jigger, and that's like 1.5 ounces, which is it called for like 1 ounce of each. So I think mine's maybe a little bit stronger than it would normally be, but it's pretty strong.
Yeah, mine isn't super strong.
Really similar to the one the butterbeer, the cold one that they sell there at Harry Potter World.
Yeah. It definitely does have
I think it's because of the cream soda. Because I do remember, like, the Harry Potter World one tastes a lot like cream soda.
I think all the recipes tend to, the cold recipes tend to be really, they use cream soda, and cream soda is really sweet. And I don't think butterbeer is supposed to be crazy sweet. I mean, she specifically says it's not sickly.
Right.
And this is probably sweeter than I would think that actual butterbeer would be. But again.
Mine is very sweet.
Again, it's pretty good. And I also whipped my own cream.
Carly whipped your cream. That sounds vaguely sexual.
I gotta say, I whipped my own cream, but for this one... So, like, I used some for Bajaya's drink. But then with this one, they tell you to fold in, like, vanilla extract and melted butter into your whipped cream. And it is dope.
Yeah, it's real good.
I just want to do that all the time anyway.
I cheated and bought Cool Whip.
You're a bad person.
Not even Ready Whip?
No, I like Cool Whip better.
That's not whipped cream.
That's what Mike said.
It's because it's not. It's literally not.
It's like oil. And...
I will say that this is like...
But it's delicious.
This is the most... This is very butterscotchy. Like... I wonder if it were heated up, how that would taste.
It would blow your mind.
So I like it. I think it's good.
I do too. It's very sweet, though.
It is very sweet. It's definitely sweeter than it should be.
But this has... This if it were butter yours beer. Did you already talk about what's in it?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We went through it all. We'll put all these recipes up too.
It's cold, but I don't know if it'd be super refreshing on a hot summer day.
No, probably not.
Like, I'm not going to drink this on the beach.
definitely not.
Maybe
this
a British
isn't dessert
beach.
Drink.
I don't know. Have you ever been to a British beach? Man, they're like a summertime. They got cloaks. They got big old coats on.
Josh is also trying these. They're yelling at me because I bought Cool Whip and not Ready Whip.
Now he's just eating the whipped cream.
We would have yelled at you for ready whip as well. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's not homemade, but at least it's whipped cream.
I had to knit scarves today, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You're so domestic. I do like the butterscotch schnapps, though, I have to say. Yeah. I don't know what, I now have a giant bottle because they don't sell tiny bottles of butterscotch schnapps.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. So if anybody has any
butterbeer.
I was going to say, if anybody has any suggestions other than butterbeer, let me
know. I don't know what I'm going to do with the bottle of vanilla vodka, either. I
actually just took regular vodka and added vanilla extract to it because I figured it was like the same thing.
That's fine.
I mean,
that's totally fine.
I don't drink vodka, so
I don't either. That's why I took some of my roommates.
I'm sure Nico will come over at some point.
That's true. I asked the guy. I was like, "Do you have vanilla vodka in a tiny bottle?" And he was like, "No." And I was like, "Do you have butterscotch schnapps in a tiny bottle?" He's like, and this is like the this man was like, no nonsense. He just goes, nah. And I was like, okay. He's like, what you making? And I was like, oh, just this drink from my friend. Bye.
Bye.
And then I just put the like bourbon down on the counter because it was out of bourbon. So
I was able to get reasonably small bottles, which I was happy about.
It wasn't giant, but it was like regular bottles that I probably never use again.
Mine are like
a little medium-y sized ones. They had those for a ton of different kinds of vodka, but they did not have vanilla vodka in that size. The guy's like, we have peppermint schnapps. I was like, yeah, that's not going to work, son.
Man, let's try one more of these. What do you say?
This is the one I made, and I have it in my Harry Potter mug.
Did you make this recipe up yourself?
I did not, in fact. Oh. This recipe is for buttered beer from the Tudor era, so like 1580s. In England. It actually has beer and butter in it, and it looks really weird. And I think mine is already separated.
It is literally beer and butter.
It has some sugar in it and a couple like Christmas time spices.
Mm-hmm. Nutmeg, cloves, and ginger.
It tastes strange.
If this did not have brown sugar in it, it would taste terrible.
That is true. Yeah, the brown sugar really saves
it. What kind of beer did y'all use?
I use Boddington's Pub English Ale. It's like straight from England.
I got Old Speckled Hen.
I also got Old Speckled Hen.
I love Old Speckled, and that's what I wanted, but they didn't have it.
I almost bought Boddington.
I was in the beer section with my daughter of the Wegmans, which is our local grocery store, and I was like, where is Old Speckled Hen? Yeah, I was like, I can't find it. Where is it? And she's 8, and she was like, it's over here, Dad. And she like pointed right here, like across.
Dad. I'm helping you.
No, like it was like across the thing, and she knew where it was. And and I was like, I'm gonna have to talk to your mother. This is not something you should know off the top of your head, young lady.
So this kind of tastes like I'm drinking bread.
Mm-hmm. It's
like a little bit like liquid bread.
Yeah,
it's really
yeasty. It's the most medieval. For sure.
It's less butterscotchy and more.
Yeah, you don't get a butterscotch at all, really.
No. And more like sweet beer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really hate it.
No, I don't hate it.
Like, especially if it's medieval times, although I don't know how much sugar they actually had in medieval times, so who knows about that. But I would feel if I were like, you know, a knight or something like that, I'd be pretty stoked to have a mug of this.
Yeah. It is literally butter and beer. It is not what I think butterbeer would taste like, though.
it is the most historically accurate
recipe. Maybe added a little bit of butterscotch sauce to it next time.
Yes, that's being very authentic. Apparently, this is from, like, the good housewife's handmade for the kitchen, which is, like, just spell that just every weird medieval way that you can think of, like, early modern English. Like, that is what it is. And it says, take 3 pints of beer, which is, like, spelled with an E, put 5 yolks of eggies. Mm. It's, like, spelled to it, strain. Which has an E. If I do a real hard N, it means there's an extra E on there. Them together and set in a pewter pot to the fire with a Y. Oh, man, I love Old English. And put it on 1/2 pound of sugar, 1 penny worth of nutmegs beaten, 1 penny worth of cloves beaten, and 1/2 penny worth of ginger.
Wow.
So there you go. All those pennyworths.
I forgot that it had a yolk in it. That's right.
Yeah, it does have an egg yolk in it. I also forgot that. That is, you mix that in there first. So it's like a little,
I had to.
Got some substance to it. Yeah, that is.
I had to bar Josh from making eggs for breakfast this morning because I needed one egg for this.
Important.
We cannot have omelets. Podcasting. This is very important. So, I don't know what the final verdict is, but I feel like none of these can quite, I don't feel like they really touch what Butterbeer would
right.
be. Like, I don't know what it would be, but I don't think it would be these.
Michael's is the closest to
Mine is the closest to Orlando.
So the first time I had that, the one in Orlando, I was like, I don't think this is what Butterbeer would taste like. Because it really just tastes like cream soda.
Right.
So I do wonder, like, I kind of feel like if we had, like, the medieval Butterbeer, but either more sugar or just, I would say, like, with butterscotch in it. Like, butterscotch syrup in that medieval one.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I feel like. Not maybe less butter in it, like actual butter, but more right. butterscotch. Maybe that's kind of what it'd be like.
I feel like you gotta lose like some of the
cloves
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think you'd pretty much take out, maybe keep the ginger or the nutmeg. Nah, maybe not right. nutmeg. Maybe not.
I would use probably a less yeasty beer too, because I don't think butter beer really tastes like beer, and this definitely.
I don't know.
Do you guys think butterbeer tastes like beer?
I think it tastes like, in my mind, it's like a warm butterscotch with a beer. But maybe that's just because I'm very literal. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. What do you think it would taste like?
Because the kids are always having it, and I always kind of felt like it was, like, they're drinking hot chocolate, but instead of chocolate, it's butterscotch.
But don't they say that?
But, like, not gross and sweet.
That's true. Didn't they say that it has like a little bit of a booziness to it though? Am I making that up?
Yeah, I want to say Hermione, that it is.
Hermione drinks some and gets a little.
I was totally like, and I probably am. You probably quote me earlier from season one or two saying that I didn't think it was alcoholic at all, and because.
No, I'm thinking about the movie. She gets a little.
I feel like I don't know in my head somewhere they mentioned that, but maybe it is just from the movie or from like. Reading fan fiction or something.
Well, so Winky gets real drunk it.
But so I think they specifically say that it affects house elves differently.
More strongly. Yes.
But that means that there is booze in it then, though.
With my research, with the various researches I've done, because the online says it's lightly alcoholic.
In your thesis.
Yeah.
Your dissertation.
So I think it's like along the lines of, you know, like those little like chocolate bottle liqueur chocolate things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where you would have to eat so many of them to get drunk that you would like throw up first from eating all that chocolate.
Yeah, yep, yep. You're right. But, that's actually a really good comparison. Yeah.
But I think Hermione does like drink so much of it at one point she kind of gets.
I think that was in the movie
a little buzz.
When they're coming back in the.
Does that happen in the book too?
Did it happen in the book?
That's just the movie? I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I guess so.
I guess we will find out.
Well, I don't think it should have so much whipped cream on it.
I almost was hoping that one of them would be truly vile and that we'd have like a spit take or something. Yeah. But I think that they were good.
I think what I've definitely learned is that it's fun to try to make butterbeer and you should do it at home and tell us what you come up with.
Yeah, I definitely felt like a witch. I had like four cauldrons going at once.
tell us
if you have made up your own recipe or you have a favorite recipe.
Yeah, because I have a lot of butterscotch schnapps that I need to use up, guys.
Maybe if we get like a bunch of amazing recipes, then we can next season we can do another butterbeer showdown.
I think we should do. There's all sorts of different weird things in the books. I feel like there has to be something else too that we can explore. I don't know. I would do a butterbeer part dose. I have all of these Harry Potter mugs now that I need to fill up with beverages.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And by mean Harry Potter, I mean your Wizard Harry mugs.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. do you guys say that we do another round of reviews from iTunes and Stitcher and other places where people give us reviews, but really just those two?
I'd say hell yeah, Michael.
I wish that people would like just send notes in a bottle with reviews or carrier pigeon. Or ocean carrier pigeon, whatever, you know.
Whatever. But cake. But iTunes is helpful too. Yeah.
That's probably more helpful.
Okay. Do you want to read these?
I will read them.
You're so good at reading.
KevBW309 says, amazing podcast. Simply the very best, or the very, well, I just added the very, but he says simply the best Harry Potter podcast in both the Muggle and Wizard world.
Oh man, I didn't even think about our wizard competition.
Yeah, do you guys please review us on Wizard iTunes?
Yeah. Squall338 also says amazing podcast. I love Harry Potter, but even if I didn't, I would love the podcast. I'm listening to episode 3 as I write this, and I can't wait for more. The cast has great chemistry. Yes, we do. I love the Quizzes Cup. The recap is always entertaining, and the wrap-up is great. The open letter from a Hufflepuff was especially great.
That was a good moment for us.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
I wrote the whole thing. I don't know if you guys know that.
I'm going to punch you in the tooth.
EllenGreen23 says, just what I was looking for. As a former childhood fan of Harry Potter World, I have been feeling nostalgic and wanted to listen to a podcast about the series. This show is great for old fans and new alike. Well, thank you, everybody.
That was really nice.
That was so nice. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Especially the Hufflepuff person.
I feel like I've been through a whole class of cheering charms.
That would really help you on your final.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.